Praise God. I believe we're going to have church this morning. Amen. I think we're going to have church this morning. Actually, I think we already started having church this morning. But before I get too excited, let me tell you who I am. Right? My name is Wole Akinyemi, like Pastor Carolyn introduced me, and I've been coming to this church now for about 12 years-ish. Originally from Nigeria, we moved here many years ago and lived in Indiana for a while, then New York for about 12 years, and I've been coming to this church for that period of time. But like I said, I'm originally from Nigeria, so you might notice that I talk a little differently and I dress a little differently. Some will wonder, what is he wearing? I've heard that question before, and I like to help people out that are wondering what I'm wearing, so I will tell you what I'm wearing, and I'll just pause because you might want to write this down. It is profound, but get a pen and paper. But what I'm wearing a shirt, and I'm wearing pants. How's that? Amen. Praise God. God is a good God. You know, folks, we do live in uncertain times. We have to acknowledge that. Things are different now. We are live streaming instead of coming to church on Sunday. But I think Pastor Carolyn said it best. In the uncertain times, what we need to do is get a hold of our surelies. When things are turbulent and we're not exactly sure where the foundation of the life that we knew before, the life we lived before, the normalcy that we knew, the schedules that we had, you know, I will do this and this and this and this, and after that I will do that. When all that is taken away from you, what you need to do is go back and find what your true foundation is. The one who doesn't change from day to day. The Bible says he is the Lord and he changes not. And because he does not change, we, the children of Israel, are not consumed. Hallelujah. And that is a surely. You might be in a place today where you're wondering where the next check is going to come from. Where provision is going to come from. Because the way things normally happened has suddenly been taken away from you. But there is a surely in the book of Psalms, chapter 35, that says, I have been young and now I am old and I have not seen the righteous forsaken or the children of God begging bread. That is a surely. Hallelujah. Glory. You might have heard of contagion. You might have heard of pandemic. You might have heard of things swirling in the air around you. But there is a surely. There's a surely that says, surely he has borne our griefs and he carried our sorrows. Hallelujah. We did esteem him stricken and mightily stricken for us. And by his stripes, we are healed. That is a surely. Hallelujah. We need the surelies because the surelies are a true foundation. Amen. We need to remember that there is a currency to prayer. And we need to tap into the currency of prayer. Now, you might be like me. There's some of us weird people in the world that are champion warriors ordinarily. You know, we can worry about everything and nothing. You know, I think it was Jamie that talked about the what ifs. You know, you have a what if tree. This what if is connected to this what if, that what if. And you know, by the time you build the entire tree, the whole wall is covered. And then when you do that, you stand back and you look at the what ifs and you're like, wow, what a picture. My wife is not like that. She doesn't worry about anything. I remember when we were still, before we got married, she was in traffic in Nigeria. It was standstill traffic. So in standstill traffic, sometimes there are people that will reach into the car and snatch your jewelry. And that happened to her at that time. And my wife, what she did, she parked the car, jumped out, and gave chase to the guy. I said, you did what? No worry, no fear. But those are different extremes. Those are different ends of the spectrum. Now, what God showed me, and this was a revelation to me. I don't know if it will be so much to you. But what God showed me that was an aha to me is that worry has never really changed anything. You can worry from now until kingdom come, and you know what? That situation, that what-if tree that you have in front of you will remain exactly the same. Isn't that amazing? Now, think about it. There is an energy that you expend in worrying. This is all preamble. There is an energy that you expend in worrying. Now, there is an energy you could expend. You could expend the exact same energy in prayer. And the difference with prayer is that unlike worry, prayer has the ability to actually effect change. So you see, you can spend all the time in worry and not change anything. You can spend all the exact time, energy, you can be passionate about it in prayer and maybe effect change. In fact, not maybe, you will actually effect change, which is the right thing to do. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 5, let's go there real quick. I think it's, even though it's preamble, James chapter 5, verse 17. Okay, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. The Bible says here that Elias was a guy just like you, He put his pants on one leg at a time, just like you. And it says here that he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. There was something that he and God were working on. And because of what they were working on, it was important that it did not rain on the earth for a space of 3 years. And to make sure that that happened, Elias did what he needed to do in prayer to effect that change. Prayer changes things. Amen? In fact, the Bible says in just the preceding verse that it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Glory to God. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In fact, I prefer how the Amplified Version says it, because if I can just find that, it says this. Therefore, confess your sins one to another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man or believer can accomplish much, which when put into action and made effective by God, it is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Yes. Glory to God. It is dynamic and it can have tremendous power. That is the difference between worry on one hand, which is completely powerless, and prayer on the other hand, which is very, very, very powerful. There is a currency to prayer, and it is important, it is time, brethren, that we tap into that currency of prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ted Shuttlesworth said it right when he was here. He said, more prayer, more power. Amen. You want to see the power of God released? Then you want to have more prayer to see that power of God released. Elias was a man of like passion, just like you, just like me. And he saw what needed to be done, and he made sure it happened. Glory to God. More power, more prayer. So instead of spending the time worrying, maybe we spend the time praying. If there are situations that are keeping us up at night, that is an opportunity for prayer. If there are things that we can't get out of our minds because our minds are swirling about certain things, that seem impossible before us, that is an opportunity for prayer. And so in these uncertain times, get a hold of the surelies and spend time in prayer. Hallelujah. Glory. There's one more preamble that I want to do. Nikki, when you were preaching, you said you talked about the table of the Lord, and Pastor Carolyn, you shared about that this morning also. And you said something that stuck with me, which is that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And one of those enemies is restriction, is constriction. And it is just like God that will prepare a table of abundance, of more than enough, in the presence of restriction. Hallelujah. And that again is another surely. Hallelujah. And so I just wanted to take that word and reflect it back that even in this time, plenty, 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 more, 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 and abundance. Because this is the El Shaddai God that we're talking about, the God that is more than enough and is able to create an abundance in the middle of scarcity. Amen. He's not limited by circumstances. He is more than enough. And even as the word says that he that believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It speaks about rivers, not streams. It speaks about rivers, not a river. Hallelujah. It speaks about an abundance, more and more and more coming out from the belly because of the belief that you have in him, the faith you put in him, the time that you've expended in getting to know him, more and more and an abundance. Now, there was a picture that God gave me about the river. And you think about a river doesn't answer to anyone. A river will answer to God. We know that the Bible says that the hearts of kings are in the hands of the Lord. And like rivers, it turns it in the direction that he'll have it go. So God does direct rivers. But once the river has its direction, it doesn't wait to find out what's in its way. A tree might say, look, I was here before you showed up, river. And the river will say, well, I'll just carry you along with me. Hallelujah. The mountain might say that this is my space, river. And the river will say, I'll just cut right through you. Yes. And there might be a rock in the way of the river, a very, very big rock. And the river will just go ahead and erode it. And even so, I feel that the Lord is saying that once you have received the instruction and you just go, they might say, well, it has never been done like this before. You have not met the river. This has not been done like this before. Well, the river says this is the way that I'm going to go because the instruction comes from God and the river just follows. Hallelujah. Now, there's one more thing about the river. The river has a voice. Sometimes the river can be quiet and calm and restoring. Sometimes the river can be loud and rushing. Either way, the river has a voice, and that voice will not be ignored. Hallelujah. And even so, you have a voice, and that voice will not be ignored, says the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm done with my preambles. I'd like to spend some time this morning talking about the God transformation. The God transformation is what I'd like to talk about this morning. Amen? Now, a transformation is a mathematical operation. I'm going to start with this because a while back I preached a message and a member of this church said that he heard it. He wasn't in church, but he listened to it on the website. And I spoke about specific gravity in that message. I don't know if he was amused, if he was blessed, if he was touched, something. But it struck him because he hadn't heard about specific gravity in a long time. And he really appreciated, I think he appreciated the fact that I wove that into the message that I shared that day. So I'm going to talk about transforms in a mathematical sense before I get into the scripture. So a transform is a mathematical operation. Don't check out yet. This will last 1 second, I promise you. That changes the quality of something into something else completely. Amen? So that you cannot recognize what you started out with originally. It changes the character. It changes all the properties of that thing that you're talking about to be something completely different. So for instance, you could transform a line so that if it was going in one direction, it could be going in the entire opposite direction. That's called reflection. Amen? And there are other transforms like that, like, you know, how you can multiply things and make it bigger and so on and so forth. Now, today I'd like to talk about the God transform, because I believe that God is in the business of transforming things. Amen? And what I'd like to do this morning is give you four examples of transformation, of the God transforming the scripture. And then through that whole exercise, we'll see how God transformed those different people or things, and then see what the whole character of the whole transform process is from God's perspective. Amen? All right, let's start with the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And we'll start with the transformation of Moses. Amen? Exodus chapter 3, we'll start from verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid her face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now come therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Amen. We'll pause there. So you may know the story, but Moses had been born in Pharaoh's palace and brought up as a child of Pharaoh. But somewhere along the line, he realized and recognized the call of God on his life to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. And so he started to act along those lines. He saw a situation where the Egyptian was oppressing the Israelite and took charge of that situation and killed the Egyptian. And then shortly after that, he saw two Israelites fighting and wanted to reconcile them, because he said, why are you fighting? And it was at that point he felt the rejection of his people, and he essentially fled out of Egypt because he did not see the chance to fulfill what he saw as a ministry on his life to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. So we see Moses in this scripture that we just read, his ministry had essentially failed. He had tried and not succeeded because he had, you know, he was executing according to how he thought things should go, which is not how God intended for things to go. So God found him while he was now rearing the sheep for his father-in-law and called him. And this is what I call the call of Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. So God calls Moses in verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I have seen. God says that I am not blind to what is going on. I have seen. Amen. I have not just seen, but I want to do something about it. and I want you to be involved in this something that I'm going to do about it. I'm going to remove them from the land of constriction where they are right now, and I'm going to bring them into a land of abundance, and I'm going to give them land that ordinarily would have belonged to all these many people that own them right now, and give them unto the Israelites, because that is my plan and my intention for them. Now go and let me use you to do exactly what I had originally called you to do anyway. And Moses said, you got to be kidding me. Hallelujah. Verse 11, he says, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Who am I? What qualification do I have? Why would you think that I'll be able to succeed in what you're asking me to do? Who am I that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, right? God and Moses go back and forth for a while. And if we scoot over to chapter 4, verses 1 through 15, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. So Moses is still arguing with God at this right now. They will not believe me. They will not hearken to my voice. For they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto you. What evidence will I give them that the Lord has appeared unto me? And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Amen. Verse 6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put your hand into your bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe you, nor hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these signs, neither will they hearken unto your voice, then thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it unto the dry land, and the water that you take out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Okay. And then Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since you have spoken unto your servants, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who has made man's mouth? Or who has made the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron thy Levite thy brother? And so on and so forth. Now again, think about Moses, where he came from, and where he was at that time. He was struggling with the call that God had placed on his life, because he had failed once already. He had tried it and he had not succeeded. But you see, the difference in this case was that God was saying unto Moses, come, I'm going to send you. The difference was that whereas Moses had tried to do it himself before, God was now at the point of saying, this is what the plan will be, and this is how you execute it. Come, go, I will send you. The difference is that the first time, God was not involved. This second time, God is involved. And we know the story with Moses, right? Eventually, he went. When he saw that God, he was going to run afoul of God, he thought about it, and eventually, he went. Eventually, he went into Egypt. Eventually, he went up to Pharaoh. Eventually, he confronted Pharaoh. And by degrees, we saw Moses growing into the person that God had intended for him to be all along. Amen. And then throughout this entire process, we see the transformation of Moses from the person who said, who am I, to being just the person for the job in Exodus chapter 11. Let's scoot over there real quick and see the new Moses after the transformation. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt, Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord God gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits upon the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the male, and all the firstborn of the beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people shall follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. Hallelujah. So again, I'd like you to think with me about the Moses from before that said, who am I, to this new Moses, who, according to the scripture, had become a man of great stature in Egypt. And he could now stand face to face, toe to toe, with Pharaoh, the ruler of the entire world, and could tell him to his face that you are coming down. Hallelujah. This is the God transformation that I'm talking about. Hallelujah. From unbelief, they will not hear me. From stuttering and not able to do what he needed to do, I am not eloquent. Amen. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, from low self-esteem, send the right person. You are knocking down the wrong door. There has to be someone better that can do the job than I am. Amen. Two, the new Moses in Exodus chapter 11, who was now an elder statesman. He had great respect, not just among the Israelites, but also among the Egyptians. So much so that this Moses actually became the foreshadowing of Jesus Christ himself. Moses said in the book of, I think it was Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 15, he says that God will send you a prophet like unto me, and unto him you will hearken and do everything that he said. Moses had now grown from the position of being a sniveling person that could not do anything to actually foreshadowing the person of Christ himself. That is the God transformation we're talking about. Hallelujah. Now you could ask yourself, well, is it that God just helped Moses to discover himself? Was it that there was really something special on the inside of Moses that God just kind of drew out? Maybe Moses had it all in him all the time. But again, this is just transformation number one. And through the course of the next three transformations, which we'll have to go through very quickly, I hope to convince you that it wasn't as much Moses as it was the process of the God transform, moving a person from I cannot to moving a person to being able to do exactly what God has called them to do. Amen. So transformation number one was Moses. We already ran into the transformation number two that I'd like to talk about, which is the rod of Moses. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Let's look at the rod. Let's introduce ourselves to the rod of Moses. And it says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is in your hand? Now that's a message. What is in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground, and he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. Amen. We see a rod that was just a piece of wood that up to that point, Moses had used in guiding the flock. We had an example of that when we were doing Psalm 23 the other day. the rod of the shepherd that the shepherd uses to guide and guard and protect the flock, right? In its makeup, it was just a piece of wood. But then, in this moment, it essentially received the call of God. What is in your hand? And it became an instrument that God was going to use moving forward. Because we see the transformation of the rod in verse 17. He says, and thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. So up to that point, he had the rod in his hand, wherewith he was using to guide flock. But at that point, the rod became the rod that he had in his hand, wherewith he was going to do signs. That's a transformation. And signs he did. Amen? In Exodus chapter 7, verses 10 through 12, we saw that that rod became a serpent in the presence of Pharaoh as the first sign. Pharaoh decided to replicate that sign, and then that rod swallowed up all the other rods. So we saw that it was greater than all rods, right? And then in Exodus chapter 7 again, we saw the rod being involved in the miracle of turning the river to blood. In chapter 8, verses 17, there was the miracle of lice. He stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and then lice came out of the dust of the earth. Amen? In Exodus chapter 9, verse 23, there was the miracle of hail, and Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven. Chapter 10, verse 13, the miracle of locusts. Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven again. And then finally, the dividing of the Red Sea, chapter 14, verse 16. He stretched out his rod over the sea, and the sea was divided into two. Amen. Oh, and one more, water from the rock in Exodus chapter 17, verse 5. Glory. But there is a description of the rod that I'd like you to see. Exodus chapter 17, from verses 8 through 13, because this just tells you what the rod had become in the hand of Moses and of God. Now, the situation here was that the people of Amalek had come to fight against Israel, and they had to respond against the people of Amalek. So in verse 8, it says, and then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Hallelujah. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. The rod had started out as the rod of Moses. What is in thine hand? And by this verse, when it came to the battle of Amalek, it had become the rod of God. The rod had started out as the rod of Moses to guide the flock of Jethro. The rod had become, in the hand of God, with the transformation of God, as the rod of God to protect the people of Israelites. That is a transformation. Hallelujah. Now look at this particular transformation. And you'll agree with me probably, I think, maybe, that there was probably not much special in the rod. Now again, with Moses, we said maybe, you know, Moses had this elder statesman thing in him all the time, and maybe that's just God was drawing. But the rod was just cut out of a tree. But the transformation had taken it from the rod of Moses to the rod of God. Now, what does it take for a transformation like that to occur? I'll submit with to you that, as in all things, there are two parts to it. There's the part that God plays, but I'd like to talk about the part that we play. And to do that, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 20 and 21. Glory to God. But in a great house. That's where we are today. In a great house, the greatest of all houses, the house of the living God. In a great house, there are many vessels. hallelujah, vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. It says, in a great house, just like in all houses, in this house of God that we're talking about, there are many different vessels. Gold, silver, some to honor, the vessels that you bring out when the occasion calls for it, the vessels that you bring out when you're entertaining kings and queens, the vessels that are reserved for those special occasions, and then there are the vessels that you use to clean the bathroom with. There are all these very different kinds of vessels. Now, what Paul is saying in this scripture is that the designation of a vessel is not written in stone forever. What a vessel is used for in the house of the Lord God Almighty is not determined in some factory somewhere that turns out these vessels. Now, today we'll say, well, they're plastic vessels that we use for, you know, not so important jobs. And then there's china that we use for the special occasions. Well, what this scripture is saying is that whether you are plastic or whether you are china in the house of the Lord God Almighty is not so much dependent on the manufacturer of the vessel somewhere in some land that you don't know of, as much as it is on you. Because those who will set themselves apart and sanctify themselves, hallelujah, will suddenly find themselves being reserved for special use. There's a lot that we have to play in this equation that we're talking about. Hallelujah. There are vessels of honor. We all know that. And then there are vessels of not so much honor. We won't deny that either. But the point is, your designation, my designation, to a large extent, depends on what you do and what I do. Not what somebody else does. Not what your mama did. Not what your friends that tried to influence you did. As much as it is on what you do and what I do. Therefore, if a man or a woman, therefore, purge himself from these, from those things that will stick on you, from those things that would attach themselves to you and weigh you down, from those things that will prevent you from running that race that has been set in front of you. If a man or woman will purge himself from these, then he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and made for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Now, purge himself from what? Some of that is in the next scripture right there. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Flee youthful lusts. It ain't worth it. Because it attaches itself to you and just prevents you from running the race that has been set ahead of you. Those things that would prevent you from doing what it is that you know you're supposed to do, flee them is what the Bible says. Run away and then follow after. Follow after those things that will put you in position to do what God has called you to do. A lot of it depends on you, and a lot of it depends on me. Vessel unto honor, vessel unto dishonor. So yes, maybe Moses had some things in him, but to a large extent, it was coming to the place where he submitted himself to doing what God wanted him to do, saying, not what I would ordinarily want myself, continually, daily taking up that cross and following him. Hallelujah. That is one thing that we can do to aid the transformation of God in our lives. There's one other thing that I'd like to read. John chapter 3, verse 30. So I'd like to close here after we talk about what it takes to line ourselves up for the transformation of the Lord God Almighty. John chapter 3, verse 30. And setting this up, we know about John the Baptist. He had spent some time, trying to get Israel back into the place of repentance. And he had this ministry thing going. And as part of that ministry, Jesus had come through and he had baptized Jesus. And that was a momentous event in itself. And so people had known that, if anything, maybe Jesus got his start from John the Baptist, kind of, because that was the public revelation of Jesus, if you will. But now John was in prison, so he was now curtailed from activities, and Jesus' ministry was now flourishing and taking off. And so people came to John the Baptist and said, look, it was in verse 26, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. What gives? He got started because you kind of anointed him. And then what was John's response? He must increase, that I must decrease. And that I will submit to you is the second half of how we get the transformation of God to be accelerated in our lives. He must increase and I must decrease. When God increases and when we decrease, then we see the transformation of God from what we originally were to where God intends for us to be accelerated in our lives. He must increase and I must decrease. What the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Let's go there real quick. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure. You and I, we have this treasure. What is the treasure? The glory of the Lord God Almighty that he has caused to reside on the inside of you and on the inside of me is the treasure. We have this treasure. What is the treasure? The presence of the Lord God Almighty that he has chosen to reside on the inside of you and on the inside of me is this treasure. The Bible says that Emmanuel, God with us. What is this treasure? This treasure is the treasure that God has chosen to do all his workings here on earth through you and through I. That is the treasure. We have this treasure on the inside of earthen vessels, that the glory may be of God and not of us. So what is it that keeps the treasure from being seen? It's when the earthen vessel is so thick, when the earthen vessel is so pointing to him or herself, when the earthen vessel just continually stands in the way of the treasure, then the treasure will not be seen. But when the earthen vessel will realize that it is not about the vessel, when the earthen vessel will realize that it's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about him, it's not about her, and then will now say, like John the Baptist, he must increase and I must decrease. And as that earthen vessel decreases and becomes more translucent and more transparent, then guess what? The treasure on the inside of the earthen vessel can now be seen from the outside. Hallelujah. And that is why he must increase and we must decrease. And that is how the transformation of God becomes accelerated in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, we have treasure. We don't act like it all the time. We don't realize it all the time. But there is treasure that God has deposited on the inside of you and on the inside of me. And that is what he wants to bring forth in the transformation that he wants to work in your life and in my life. Amen. But for that to happen, he must increase and we must decrease. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God, awesome in power, awesome in majesty, awesome in glory, and yet so loving and so thinks the world of us, so much so that he chooses to use us to limit his expression here on earth by what we are able to do for him. That is the God that we serve. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise. And we thank you, Lord God Almighty, because you are indeed a good God. We give you praise, Heavenly Father, because we know, Lord God, that the plans that you have for us as your people are plans of peace and not of evil, to bring us to the expected end that you have called for every single one of us, Lord God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because we know that there is a high calling of God that you have placed on the life of every single one of us that belong to you, Lord God. And we know, Heavenly Father, that that high calling is beyond what we can see or even imagine, Lord God Almighty. But you want us to strive towards it. You want us to reach out to receive it, Lord God Almighty. And you have said that I will help you in transforming you into the people that you want us to be, Lord God. And Father, Heavenly Father, we submit ourselves to you today, Lord God. And we just pray that you continue to move in our lives, Lord God. Continue to build, Heavenly Father. Continue to tear down, Lord God, as you see fit, Lord God Almighty. That even as we submit ourselves and say to you, you must increase and we must decrease, Lord God, you will indeed cause that to come about. And you will cause that to be established in the life of every single person that belongs to you, Heavenly Father. We worship you, we exalt your holy name, and we give you thanks because you are good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.